You all know why I'm here, not an orator. And I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause. I'm a soldier, and we are at war.
We seem to never learn, here we go again. They rallied up the troops, God forgive the sin. Hidden agendas, can't we fight for truth? No, then there be no need to fight. Love isn't fatal, there's no fatalities. Hate supports U.S. principalities. In this separation, we all suffer. We need to be in love with each other. This isn't training, actual invading. Depleted uranium is raining. Iraq, just know we don't have Bush's back. With a vicious attack, crossing borders with might. On foot catching flight. For hypocrisy, I will not fight. The Most High loves I, the word won't die. Even after all the times it's been revised. I've been shot by Charlton Heston, and he even autographed the weapon. The bullet was lodged in my left shin. I asked the doctor, and she kept it in.
The stress of waiting for the tension of battle, readying to make war, making peace with their God.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Before their baptism of fire.
All right, January 19, 2007. This is truthlovefreedom.org, and this is our first attempt at a live broadcast. You can hear us on Shoutcast, we do Skypecast, Stickcam. You can hear us through Smoke Signal. we're also going to post a podcast of this if it isn't successful. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, so this is going to be a lot different than the format I'm used to. This is our first time doing it, so please bear with us as we get this down. We are rookies, to say the least, and we have a lot of things to figure out. We're hoping that everyone can hear us and hear us clearly. Feel free to send us a post or an email at admin@truthlovefreedom.org to let me know if this is not working out, if you're not hearing us or something staticky or whatever. We have a number of programs running. As it is, only a few people can connect using the Shoutcast, but eventually we're going to upgrade the program and get it to where you can listen by the hundreds of thousands, if you please. It may take a little time. We're not going to pay for that until it justifies itself. So, I mean, as it is right now, I don't think anyone's listening, and this is probably more than likely going to be a podcast by the time we're done. So, the intro song here is by the Freemasons. Called Rain Down Love, the club vocal mix. I thought it would be an appropriate intro to the topic matter. The topic matter is Freemasonry. Okay, so I'm your host, Soul Real. This is Justin.
Hello.
And this is our first attempt at doing a live show, like I said. So the topics that we're going to go into tonight are going to be about Freemasonry, in their initiation ritual. We're also going to talk about the oaths that they take. They call them obligations, and we're going to see, we're going to listen to some clips about those obligations, what exactly goes into the ritual. You'll actually hear a reenactment of a ritual by an ex-worshipful master of a lodge. He'll go through, and we're not going to play the whole thing because every ritual is like 5 hours long. It's absolutely insane as far as the detail and the timing that goes into it, but the more important parts, the parts that hold the most symbolism, is the ones that we're going to deal with, and we're going to play. If you go to the website truthlovefreedom.org, on there we have some sources. After we get done letting you listen to this and we discuss some of the topics about it, you can actually go to the website, and I have an Adobe file, an Adobe format, PDF files, the first, second, and third degree, the Inter-Apprentice. There's an Inter-Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master Mason's degrees. You can read them from beginning to end, all the way through. It's not exactly a fun read, but if you're very interested and you kind of want to see what it's all about, you can actually go there and read it. So feel free to do that. I'll leave those up for a couple days at least, so people can get some time to go over and check them out. After that, I'm going to archive them. In the info by subject, I'm going to put them where the topic of Freemasonry will be. So I don't even know where to go from here. We got a number of topics to cover, and Like, this is a little bit different than doing a podcast, because before we'd have a lot of dead air and we would just edit it out. Now we can't really have any dead air, so we have to make sure we fill it in. So I hope you feel chatty.
Oh, yeah. Chatty as usual.
That's not good.
I'm sorry.
Not as usual. Let's see. So before I get into anything, what I want to do is discuss some basics. I know some people who are going to be listening to this don't really know a lot about Freemasonry. And Freemasonry has a number of degrees, okay? When you enter Freemasonry, we talked about this on the podcast, show number five, that there's multiple levels. And that the first three levels of Freemasonry are called the Blue Lodge, which are Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and a Master Mason. Until you become a Master Mason, you are not considered a real Mason. You have to go through these three degrees. And after you get past those three degrees, you have a couple of different options to choose from as far as paths to take. They would call them side degrees, and we'll address that later on because a lot of people would disagree, I being one of them. I believe they're higher degrees, and I believe I can prove that. At least make sense of it, if you can call it whatever you want. I mean, everyone has can have their own opinion. I feel like I'm not being heard here. Let's move this forward. All right. So there's two different paths that you can take. One is the York Rite, and the other one's the Scottish Rite. In the Scottish Rite, you have 32 degrees. In the York Rite, I don't believe they go by degrees necessarily. They have names. And there's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 12 levels. And then there's the last level, of course, which is the 33rd degree or the honorary 33rd degree.
Is it called 33rd no matter which side you go?
You know, I honestly don't know that. I'm going to have to check on that and find out. I don't know. I know. I hear more about Scottish Rite than I hear of the York Rite. That seems to be the one that's the most focused on. And the reason being, I don't know. I can't understand why. But when you get to the highest level, I mean, when you're considered the highest level, you're a 33rd degree. Now, supposedly 32nd is the highest you can go. The 33rd degree is only available to those who are, would do great work, I guess, as far as like being active in Freemasonry and stuff. It's
like a fifth star for a general or something. It's honorary. It's not like
exactly something. Saying you're above and beyond the average, so to speak. So, and when you get to that degree, you become what is known as Inspector General. Interesting. Now, there's a lot of titles that go into a lot of these names, and I'm not going to go too much into the degrees right now because I would like to eventually get into all the degrees and what they're about and what you have to do to become those degrees and what they're supposed to represent, but today we have a limited amount of time, and we have plenty of shows going on in the future, so I think that'll be fine. So we're going to focus in on the first three degrees because these are the basic degrees. Every Freemason that you hear that calls themselves a Freemason must go through these first three degrees. Now, the degrees are slightly different depending on what country you're in and being part of Freemasonry. In the United States, what you're going to hear tonight, every Freemason goes through.
If I just started and I haven't done any of these three yet and I'm talking to someone else, can I not call myself a Freemason? Or what would I call myself if I was talking to someone else who was a Freemason?
Well, you wouldn't call yourself a Freemason, that's for sure. You would say you're in the Blue Lodge. That's what you would say.
Okay.
I'm in the Blue Lodge, basically meaning you're getting ready to become a Master Mason. Now, the amount of time it takes to become a full-blown Mason, I think, is at 6 months. So you got to go through this period, and you have to be involved in certain things in order to work your way up to being a Master Mason. So we have a lot to get into, but before to really get some topic matter to discuss, I'm going to go ahead and play a clip. I got three clips. I'm probably not going to play the entire thing. Basically, what I did is I took a video, and you can go to my website, truthlovefreedom.org. The video link is there. Click on it, and you can watch where I got this from. This is a past master of a lodge, worshipful master. Who left Freemasonry because of religious convictions, being that he was Christian, he didn't feel they comply. This video that I got was a Christian video. which is their intention in doing it was to show the difference between, or how Freemasonry and Christianity don't mesh well, I guess you could say. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out the best terminology to use.
They're not compatible. They're not compatible. That's what it's trying to say.
That's exactly
Freemason
what
will not agree with that.
No, absolutely not. And actually, they had a 32nd degree Freemason on there discussing it with a Christian theologian, of all things. And then he, at one point, they asked him, they said, you know, what is the authority of Freemasonry? If we're going to talk about what authority is, where we're going to get our information from, what is the final authority when it comes to Freemasonry? And the guy said, the ritual. So they said, okay. And they went and got a guy who was a past master, a worshipful master who did the ritual for, I think, 15 years or something like that. And he led you through step by step and even explained this, the symbolism. And I don't remember all. It's just kind of a mishmash. It's not just the first, second, or third degree. It's kind of a mishmash of all of them. And I'm going to play a first clip. We're going to talk a little bit about it. And then we're going to play another clip. And we'll talk a little bit about it. And I may play a third clip before we go to an intercession or a little
intermission.
Intermission. There you go. First time. so yeah, we're going to go ahead and play that, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Our guest tonight is Mr. Jack Harris. And Jack, I would like for you to explain to us what we see here. What is the big G above this chair, and what is that chair, and what are these other chairs?
John, first of all, the chair of the Worshipful Master is situated in the east. It is the place of authority in Masonic Blue Lodge. Over top of the chair is a letter G, found in every lodge within the United States.
Okay, what are these chairs down here?
Okay, on the left we have the chair of the chaplain. Every lodge must be open and closed with prayer. And in a great many of your lodges throughout the United States, the chaplain is an ordained minister. To the right of the master is the chair of the senior deacon. The senior deacon is in charge of conducting all candidates through their initiation of the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry.
All right. What are these candles here, Jack?
These candles represent the sun, the moon, and the master of the lodge. As
all
we come down through the center of the lodge, and this is significant because this altar is in exactly in center of every Masonic lodge within the United States. Resting on top is the Holy Bible, the square, and the compasses.
All right, you're going to tell us more about why you have these things there and what they mean in Masonry.
And we were going to do that on a later ritual, right?
All right. Why do we have the color blue here?
The color blue, according to most Masonic authorities, is used in the Blue Lodge, first and second and third degree, because it is a symbol of fidelity.
All right, Jack, tell us, what is the south wall all about in the Masonic Lodge room?
Okay, the south wall is the principal place where the junior warden of the lodge sits.
Okay.
To his right and to his left are the chairs of the junior and senior stewards of the Masonic Lodge.
All right, and you're going to tell us why you have, and you call it the south wall, and then you've got the west wall over here.
That's correct.
A little later as we go along, and the people will see how these chairs are used.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, describe, what do we have over here on the west wall?
Okay, the small chair on the left is a chair of the junior deacon, who is in charge of a mission of all candidates and also the guest of the lodge.
All right, what's this chair?
The chair in the center is a chair of the senior warden of the lodge, who's second in command to the worshipful master of the lodge.
Okay, Jack, what about this other door on the west wall? What's this all about?
This door is for the candidate to come through. It's called the anteroom door. It's the door behind which the candidate is prepared for initiation. Behind this door, we have a candidate which is prepared for initiation in the first degree of Freemasonry. We will explain to you at a later time exactly why he is dressed the way he is.
Okay, we're back. So basically, at that first clip, he explained the situation of a Freemason's lodge. You can basically go online, go to Google Images, type in Freemasonry, and you will see a lodge somewhere. And if you want to listen to it as you're looking at a picture, that would be really good too, because then you can see what he means. So being that he was past master of the lodge, he definitely knew that every single thing, the placement of every person and item, represented something in the lodge.
This Blue Lodge... The room they're in, is that the Blue Lodge, or is the Blue Lodge not a physical place? You know what I'm saying?
It's not a physical place. No.
So there's not a different room. This is a room used for more than just initiation?
Right.
Okay.
Right. They have different Masonic halls, or temples, or whatever you want to call them. all have a basic lodge room, and in that they conduct this. But the Blue Lodge is basically the first 3 degrees that you're in. If I'm wrong, anybody, feel free to come onto the website. I have a forum. Get on there and just say, hey, you're wrong. I'm open to learning if I get anything wrong. I don't expect to be right about everything. So, that being said, the one thing I want to draw attention to is the three lights he referred to as being the what?
The sun, the moon, and the what?
Master
the
of the Lodge.
Yeah, that was interesting.
The sun, the moon, and the master of the lodge. And they say, and he had a whole little saying that he said where, you know, as the sun brings light during the day and the moon brings light at night, and the master needs to be as consistent as the sun and the moon as being the authority of the lodge. And that interpretation is very, very... What's the word? I guess you would say exoteric in the sense. There's a lot of I mean, because you got to think everything that they're doing. They already said in the last podcast that we played that clip from that you know this all relates to the ancient world.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And not only that, I mean, call it a coincidence. It just so happens to be there's a lot of religions that worship the sun and the moon.
Yeah, that stood out real big, especially after the last podcast talking about like the mystery religions or. You know, the supposed origins of religions and the importance of the sun and things like that. That really stood out.
Yeah. So, what's really interesting as well is I'm trying to recall if he said anything about that, but basically, the person who's coming in to be initiated and how he's dressed, he has one pant leg up, he has his shirt open, I think one sleeve ripped off, and he has a noose around his neck. He's blindfolded. He gets down on his knees at the entrance to the door to the lodge and knocks 3 times. That's what you're going to hear in the next one. So I just want you to visualize what this guy looks like when he's going through initiation. It ain't pretty. You know, it's not like they dress you up with honor. And you get down on your knees, and you're, in a sense, begging for the light of Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
The light, the sun, the moon, and the master of the lodge. Very interesting stuff. He has set it in the... Where's the Master Mason sitting? In the east. And we talked about this last time. Where does the sun rise? It rises in the east. The new morning sun, the new dawn, the risen sun, all this great stuff that I'm going to get into in greater depth in the future. So now I'm going to go ahead and play this clip. This is actually the ritual itself. You'll actually hear them enacting it. And you kind of got to imagine what's going on. But just know that the guy's outside. Now, he has somebody standing next to him. And I believe it's the junior deacon. He stands next to him and he guides him. He doesn't say anything. He just sits there and he gets kind of dragged around this whole thing as the guy talks on his behalf. Because he doesn't obviously know the ritual yet. Well, he should know if he's going through it, but most of them don't. Either way, he doesn't know the ritual yet. And so they're just kind of carrying him around. And I think at one point he stops and explains a little bit about what they did.
As John has mentioned earlier, we cannot show you all the aspects of the ritual, but what we will show you will be an actual live representation of what happens in a Masonic lodge. Previous to this, there was about 20 minutes of ritual leading up to this part where I am at the present time. Who comes here?
John Smith, a poor blind candidate who desires to be brought from darkness to light, who wishes to receive a part of the rights and benefits of this right worshipful lodge, erected to God and dedicated to the holy saints John, as many brothers and fellows have done before him.
Is it of his own free will and accord he makes this request?
It is.
Is he duly and truly prepared?
He is.
By what further right does he expect to gain admission?
By the right of being a man, freeborn, of good report, and well recommended.
Being all this, he will wait a time with patience until the worshipful master is informed of his request and his answer returned.
Okay, I'm just going to stop there for a second and talk a little bit about what we just heard. He went through, he said, what are the rights that he, or what is, what was the words that he used? By what does he expect to gain admission?
Yeah, what recommended?
It was that he was well recommended. It used to be in Freemasonry that you had to be recommended by somebody in Masonry. You couldn't just go knock on the door and say, hey, can I be one? Like, it didn't work that way. You had to be recommended by another Mason. Now, I mean, here in my town, we have a banner up on our Masonic Lodge begging people to come and apply.
They're taking applications.
Yeah,
at least for a good long time, it's been to be one, ask one. It used to be that. That was their motto a long time. I know, a while ago.
Yeah. To be one, ask one is now their motto. They didn't have a motto when it came to Peter Freemasonry in the past. It's just that they're losing a lot of membership. People are not very interested in nowadays. And it actually, I got to change that, because since the Da Vinci Code and a lot of other type of films coming out, Freemasonry is not such, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not an enigma anymore. People can easily find out stuff about it. And there are people who are interested. You know, a lot of people are looking away from with the typical religions today and are looking for something else, something more philosophical, something deeper. And because Freemasonry's been around, I mean, it's the oldest fraternity probably in the world. They look to Freemasonry as kind of like to fill that void, I guess you could say. But he also said he's a free man. He's born free. Mm-hmm. You could not be a slave, and obviously, and be a Freemason. You had to be born free.
Have ever been a slave and been freed, or no?
I don't know about that. That's a good question, but I don't think many people did. I think you just had to be a free man. Let's play it again, and let's listen to it one more time, just so we can make sure that we don't miss anything of value. I may just stop it halfway, partway through it.
As John has mentioned earlier, we cannot show you all the aspects of the ritual, but what we will show you will be an actual live representation of what happens in a Masonic lodge. Previous to this, there was about 20 minutes of ritual leading up to this part where I am at the present time. Who comes here?
John Smith, a poor blind candidate who desires to be brought from darkness to light, who wishes to receive a part of the rights and benefits of this right worshipful lodge, erected to God and dedicated to the holy saints John, as many brothers and fellows have done before him.
Is it of his own free will and accord he makes this request?
It is.
Is he duly and truly prepared?
He is.
By what further right does he expect to gain admission?
By the right of being a man, freeborn, of good report, and well recommended.
Being all this, he will wait a time with patience until the worshipful master is informed of his request and his answer returned.
Okay, back to this. So, the light of Masonry, that was the first thing he said. He's blind. You're coming to the door, you're blind. Well, spiritually speaking, whenever we said somebody's blind, means they're, you know, they don't get it. They're in ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If light is knowledge, and you're coming to them in what? In ignorance. Because they're going to teach you something. Wouldn't that kind of like go along with the whole mystery school thing? I'm just kind of bringing that up because obviously that's something we've talked about in the past, and we'll get more into that in the future. He said, "Is he duly and truly prepared?" What does that mean? Well, you have to be in your attire. You have to have your noose around your the whole bit, you know, blindfolded and all that. That's truly duly and truly prepared. You have to be a man.
Yes, and a free man. And now I'm thinking there probably weren't many people who are former slaves who could ever become Masons, considering I think we're mostly talking white men, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
well, there was a period in time where they opened up what they call Prince Hall Lodges. Mm-hmm. Prince Hall Lodges are lodges for black people. As far as I know, you can be black and be a Freemason in a regular lodge, but I think it's very rare. Matter of fact, I think it's so rare, in fact, that actually, there was a news report a month or two ago that there was a guy from Georgia who was defending keeping black people out of the regular lodge.
Wow.
I think that there is some states or something, some jurisdictions that say, no, you have to be in Prince Hall Masonry for black people. They keep whites and blacks separated. And there's also a little controversy, just a little side note. Albert Pike was a very prominent member of Freemasonry. And we'll get into him in great depths in the future. He supposedly, I can't find any proof about it, but it seems to be generally accepted that he's one of the co-founders of the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm.
So, I mean, yeah, take that for what it's worth.
Right.
Anyways, so I'm going to go ahead and play the rest of it. We just wanted to go ahead and emphasize those things.
Before we continue with the ritual, I would like to make some comment about the part of the ritual at the door that you have just seen. Albert Mackey, one of the world's leading authorities in Freemasonry and respected in his interpretation of the rituals of Freemasonry, has made this comment regarding the scene that you have just set at the door. The book is called The Manual of the Lodge, page 20, and he makes this following statement. There he stands without our portals on the threshold of his new Masonic life, in darkness, helplessness, and ignorance. Having been wandering amid the errors and covered over with the pollution of the outer and profane world, he comes inquiringly to our door, seeking the new birth, and asking a withdrawal of the veil which conceals divine truth from his uninitiated eyes. Mr. Smith, you are received into Masonry upon the point of a sharp instrument piercing your naked left breast, which is to teach you, as this is an instrument of torture to your flesh, so may the recollection thereof be to your conscience, should you ever reveal any of the secrets of Freemasonry unlawfully. Vouchsafe thine aid, Almighty Father of the Universe, to this our present convention, and grant that this candidate for Masonry may dedicate and devote his life to thy service. Endue him with the competency of thy divine wisdom, that by the secrets of our art he may be better enabled to display the beauties of holiness of thy holy name. Amen. Mr. Smith, in times of imminent peril and danger, in whom do you place your trust?
In God.
Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of God talk going on.
Yeah.
But they never say which one.
No.
They do talk about the Bible. But if you're a Muslim, they put the Quran on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Buddhist, they put...
whatever.
Yeah.
Some sutra.
Was it the... Yeah. No. What the no. Hinduism is the Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, yeah. Among other things.
So, I mean... A lot of complaints, especially, you know, from Christians, have been, hey, you know, like, they always say that we, you know, the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God is like their bond, but they never say what God, and it's really interesting because you get into the higher degrees and it becomes more relevant what God they're talking about. Now, I mentioned this before, when I went into the topic of the origin of religions and the purpose of the mystery schools, I talked about how you climb the levels, and the purpose is to teach you that there is no God, or to see if you're capable of accepting that fact or not. So, one of the requirements to becoming a Freemason, believe it or not, is that you have to believe in a deity.
Period. To become a Freemason.
Yeah, you cannot be an atheist and be a Freemason, or at least you can't admit to them that you are.
Right. But you end up there.
Well, that they wouldn't say that.
Well, right.
Okay, so they never tell you that they end up, because many of them become leaders of various religions.
Right.
But I personally believe, and this is what I'm going to try to prove as time goes on, that yes, that is in fact what they're doing. They are a mystery school. The purpose, through the ritual and through the different levels of initiation that you climb, is the purpose of first getting you to accept that all religions are the same and originate with the mystery schools. And then if you're willing at the final step to take it, that there is no God, and therefore there's no reason to believe in God. And that's why if you listen to a lot of the quotes from Freemasonry, they talk about the superstitious people.
Mm-hmm.
In a very negative light. Very superstitious people are bad. They're more interested in the philosophical.
There's this guy that comes into my work. He's always got a Masonic ring on.
Mm-hmm.
He's an older guy. He's like in his 80s. And one day he mentioned to me that he was a student of metaphysics, and then the next day that he came in, I asked him what that meant to him. You know, I just in a really non-threatening way, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
And he got very passionate about it, and he got into a conversation more like, it was like a little speech to me. First it was about Jesus. He started talking, he called him JC, started talking about Jesus, and then got to the point where obviously, you know, general Christian doctrine would be that Jesus equals God. And he got to a point talking about Jesus as a teacher, and then Jesus as a man and only a man, and then talking about something, I couldn't quite understand it. We only talked for a couple of minutes, but something, some sort of general, maybe there's some maybe force or power, but I know he wasn't admitting to anything like a God actually existing, but his language was so religious sounding. It just reminds me a lot of this. Clearly he's on the same page.
Yeah. And that's funny, because as many Freemasons as I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot at this point throughout the years, they are all on the same page. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all right there with each other, yeah. As far as their interpretation of what a God is,
right,
in general. So we're going to go ahead and take a small break. I'm going to play a song. And any Freemasons that listen to the podcast, will recognize the symbolism of this song. Oops. I think we're offline now. Oh, that we're back. Okay. They will recognize the symbolism of this particular song because of the fact that it's called Traveling Man. Well, Freemasons are oftentimes referred to as fellow travelers. So I dedicate this to any Freemason that may be listening.
Yeah. Yo, it's time to play leaving. Right. See you at the airport.
Memories don't live like people do. They always remember you, whether things are good or bad. It's just the memories. Memories don't live like people do. Baby, don't forget me, I'm a traveling man, moving through places, space and time. Got a lot of things I got to do, but God willing, I'm coming back to you. But baby, move, I'm a traveling man, moving through places, space and time.
Around the world from the eyes of MCs, these cats is paying more than half a pound. My garment bag, I snatch it down. I got the skate, but we could probably run a back of town. Scenarios like this is tear jerkers for the modern MC. I eat a blue collar worker, cause this thing called rhyming, no different from coal mining. We both on assignment to unearth the diamond. When you start climbing and them eyes start shining, you be struggling and striving, and they think you prime timing. Maintain and keep silent, make no an observation. It's confrontation, this is the daily operation. My concentration, they focused on my recitation, about to reach my destination with no pause or hesitation. Baby, make the preparation, cause this ain't no recreation, this is pro ball. And we letting you know, y'all, at the show, y'all, doing this for dough, y'all. Get the phone call, and I'm ready to blow, y'all, about to go, y'all. Been a pleasure to know, y'all. And I'm letting you know that
memories don't live like people do. They always remember you, whether things are good or bad. It's just the memories.
To drop these heavy ass bags up off my backbone, around the world with a catalog of rap songs. My baby girl is walking, been away for that long. But no, you haven't, well, at least it's how it seemed to me. My hometown is like a whole different scenery. The old timers on the stoop leaning leisurely. The new jacks up in the park smoking greenery. Easily taken for granted when you up in it, but it's sweet sinning when you've been down for a minute. Move around city limits, break them down with the vintage. The end of winning, classical b-boy image. Collect the winners, cause that's the reason that we came here. This thing is not a game here, the fortune, not the fame here. From New York to the Cadillacs, Cali and the Cadillacs, Chicago, no, we innovate, infiltrate Virginia State, DC make me stimulate, Philly, no, we penetrate, Georgia make us generate, let's set a date to get the pace. They celebrate on my jams in foreign lands, even your mans in Japan know who I am. Minasan, make everybody out in the fun, say Ichiban, make God man, but where you get it from? Phenomenon, excuse me, that's a phone call, it's a show, y'all, trying to get this dough, y'all, about to blow, y'all, been a pleasure to know, y'all. And I'm letting you know
that memories don't live like people do. They always remember you, whether things are good or bad. It's just the memories.
chasing space and time. I got a lot of things I got to do, but inshallah I'm coming back to you. Baby boo, I'm a traveling man, moving through places, space and time. Got a lot of things I got to do, but God willing I'm coming back to you. Back to you, I'm leaving.
Okay, we're back again. So, just to continue, I just wanted to get a little break there. I had to eat. I haven't ate all day. I'm so hungry. Anyways, so the last thing that we listened to, the last clip, he mentioned that he went by an authority named Albert Mackey. Now, if you listened to the last podcast, and being that this is our first show, the podcast itself, at the very end, we read a quote from Albert Mackey.
A really long quote.
Really long one. Called Freemasonry and Whether or Not It Was a Religion.
Yeah, like it was an entry in like an encyclopedia, right?
Yeah, it's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. So we read a quote out of there. And so just confirming the fact that, yes, he is in fact an authority like we mentioned on the last podcast. Okay, so we're going to get into another clip now. We're actually going to go through more of the ritual. This one is dealing more in the third degree of Freemasonry, because you got the first, second, and third. This is the degree when you're coming in to be a Master Mason. Now, this is the part where you it has a lot of significant symbolism. I talked about this last time because we're talking about the person Hiram Abiff.
Mm-hmm.
And the son of the widow is what they call him, or the widow's son. And when they refer to each other, they ask, you know, do you know the son of the widow? And that's the way of identifying whether or not you're a Freemason. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip, and we'll talk a little bit about it.
Brother Smith, with this lambskin or white leather apron, which is an emblem of innocence and a badge of a Mason. More ancient than the Golden Fleece or Roman Eagle, or any other order that could be conferred on you at this or any future date by king, prince, or potentate, or any other person, except to be a Mason. And which I hope you will wear with pleasure to yourself and honor to the fraternity. The lambskin has always been deemed a emblem of innocence. He, therefore, who wears a lambskin as a badge of a Mason, is continually reminded of that purity of life and conduct which is so essentially necessary to his gaining admission into the celestial lodge above.
Worshipful Master, I'd like to introduce Brother Smith. Brother Smith, this is our Worshipful Master.
Brother Smith, one might suppose from the jewel you wear about your neck, you were a Master Mason, acquainted with all the secrets belonging to this degree. But it is my duty to inform you, such is not the case. You have a rough and dangerous road to travel as a test of your fidelity in keeping secret that which has been communicated to you. In your travels, you will be beset by ruffians, perhaps murdered, an instance has been known. You will therefore suffer yourself again to be hoodwinked, and conduct it to the altar where you may offer up your devotions either mentally or orally. And when you have finished, you will rise, you will signify the same by rising, remembering, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved.
Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun
right now, in this portion of the ritual of the third degree of Freemasonry, the candidate has symbolically become Hiram Abiff. His walking around the altar symbolizes his journey through life, and he is hearing scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes. In a moment, the candidate will encounter ruffians on his journey who will threaten and eventually kill him, the meaning of which will be explained later by former Worshipful Master, Mr. Jack Harris.
And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it.
Grandmaster Hiram Abiff, I am glad to meet you thus alone. You have long promised us the secrets of a master mason. Behold, the temple is almost completed, and we have not yet received them. Give me the secrets of a master mason.
This is an unusual way of manner of asking. Neither is it the time nor place. Wait until the temple is finished, and then, if worthy, you will receive the secrets.
Give me the secrets of a master mason, or I will take your life.
I cannot. Neither can they be given except in the presence of three: Solomon, king of Israel, Hiram, king of Tyre, and myself.
Give me the secrets of a master mason, or I'll take your life upon this spot.
My life, but not the secrets.
Then die.
Grand Master Hiram Abiff, give me the secrets of a master mason.
I cannot.
This neither is satisfactory. Give me the secrets of a master mason, or I'll take your life.
I will not.
Give me the secrets of a master mason, or I'll take your life on this spot.
My life, but not the secrets.
Then die! Grand Master Hiram Abiff, give me the secrets of a master mason.
I cannot.
Give me the secrets of a master mason, or I'll take your life.
I will not.
Give me the secrets of a master mason, or I'll take your life on this spot.
My life, but not the secrets.
Then die! Companions, what horrid crime we had committed. We have murdered our Grand Master Hiram Abiff. What shall we do with the body?
Let us take it a westerly course and bury it at the brow of a hill, some 6 feet due east and west, and 6 feet perpendicularly, at the head of which we will plant a sprig of acacia, that the place may be here unknown.
Let us make our escape.
Okay, we're gonna start here.
Wow.
So this is what every Freemason has to go through, this ritual.
Is there any audience? I mean, or is it just, is this all for the benefit of the initiate?
It's the people involved in the actual ritual. And actually, there was three ruffians, and there was those three.
Right.
There were two people who catch you when the guy actually goes to kill you. You fall down, they catch you in this, is there a cloth, or it's like a...
like a shroud or something?
Yeah, something like that. No, it's actually like a tarp or something.
All right.
So they catch you in that, and they ruffle you around or whatever, and they do that to kind of like you're being buried. You're blindfolded the whole time, by the way, so you're experiencing just the sounds of it, and they get really into it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's even one lodge in New York that got really into one of their rituals, and they ended up shooting the guy on accident because they used a real gun.
Oh.
And the guy was supposed to switch it with the fake gun, and he forgot and blasted the dude. And that was on the news like just a couple years ago, I think. So, I mean, they get real into it, and the whole purpose is this experience that you're supposed to go through. So, now, esoterically, if you get into studying what Freemasonry is on an esoteric level, what the three ruffians supposedly represent, and this is according to people who are into the esoteric, not all of Freemasonry believes this, because not all Freemasonry agrees with anything about Freemasonry. There's no, like, basic standard of belief, but yet, people who are considered prominent in Freemasonry all study the esoteric. So, call that a coincidence, if you will. The three ruffians represent ignorance, faith, and superstition. Trying to get the secret of the Master Mason, which is the word. It's called the lost word, or the name of God, because God's name, supposedly, like according to the Bible, has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what it is. Well, they claim to know what it is. What? Part of your path of enlightenment is discovering the name of God, the lost name of God.
What is it?
Well, they have a number of different degrees. Nobody knows when you get to the top what it is, but
okay.
I know that one of the names they get. Well, you always hear them talk about the Grand Architect of the Universe, that Gatu, basically represents all the gods that all Freemasons, no matter what religion you believe in, it's kind of like a general name for God. Grand Architect of the Universe, being that they're Masons, you know, he's an architect and all. Well, another name they use is Jobulon. Jobulon represents Jehovah, Bel, and it's another name, if you get into the correlation of the names of the different gods, it's another name for Osiris.
Hmm.
So it's one name using these three gods. But, you know what I'm saying, here they go. So Freemasonry says, basically, you can believe in any god that you want. You can believe and they keep things really, you know, general, so that everyone can be a part of Freemasonry. It's not opposed to any religion in the world. However, as you climb the degrees, they're merging the religions together into mm-hmm. one. And part of the education that you're going through and the symbols that they use, they talk about things like the Dionysian artificers. They talk about all the different mystery cults, and Manichaeism, all these different groups, right? Which, and they try to show how they're all the same. They're part of this original religion, which originated with a form of paganism and sun worship. All the symbols are there. It just so happens to correlate the way they're laying it out. It seems pretty obvious, at least to me, where they're getting at with the whole thing. Mm. But they never state it. And that's what another quote I'm going to read in the future by Albert Pike basically says that they conceal the secrets within symbolism and within the ritual. So they don't tell you ever, oh yeah, this is what we are. You're supposed to figure it out mm-hmm. if you're capable. That's how you prove if you're enlightened or not. Mm. That's why you have the different degrees. And that's why when you get to the top, you have to make the final choice. Even though through each consecutive degree, they ask you, what is your faith? What is the book of your faith? And, you know, most people kiss the Bible. And they climb levels. But there gets to a point where you can't kiss the Bible anymore. They ask you, what's your religion? And you're supposed to say, the ancient one. Mm. That's been reported by a number of people who left Freemasonry at the highest level, 32nd, 33rd degree. So the ancient one, what's the ancient one? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's pretty interesting stuff. The way you get into it. You, in a sense, you have to kind of take the initiative to decode it. And no matter what you say, Freemasonry is this, they will disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Because Freemasonry, as far as they're concerned, isn't anything. It's just a fraternity. I mean, they're not going to tell you. It's part of your path of enlightenment. You have to figure it out for yourself. That's where it comes down to the whole thing. They even quote saying, you know, even if we were to tell you the secret, you wouldn't get it. Because the reality is, like if they said, okay, we believe that all religions are the same, therefore there is no God. It all originated with the ancient mystery schools. And our goal is to try to teach you that, enlighten you of that fact, so that you can go on to be a leader in the world and somebody who isn't going to be superstitious mm-hmm. and full of faith and what's the other one? In ignorance. Mm-hmm. And you come to a position of power and we'll help you get there by, you know, through business and through government becoming a member of Freemasonry, then, you know, the people who aren't ready to accept that fact will do what? They'll leave Freemasonry, they'll tell everybody that they know to stay away from it, right? I mean, if they're say, for example, they're Christian, well, that would be highly unacceptable to a right. Christian. So their whole mentality behind it is, you're not capable of understanding it yet. You haven't reached that level of enlightenment, you haven't gotten the light of Masonry yet. So you're not ready. And therefore, that there's no point in telling you.
Right.
You have to be brought through a path soon. So that's where it kind of comes from. So I'm going to play the rest of that clip. There's not very much left, a couple of minutes, I think. We might talk about a little bit of that. If not, we'll go right into the next topic that we're going to talk about outside the ritual. And just so you know, if you want to, you can go to the website, truthlovefreedom.org. On the front page right now, I have the first, second, and third degree all the way through. It tells who's saying what. You can just read it from beginning to end. It's like a script. And if you want to read the entire thing, I've only played clips. But the whole thing is like 5 hours. It's probably even longer to read. But feel free to do it if you're interested. It's there. You can download it. It's a PDF file. And also, I have this video that I took the clip from. I basically just took out the parts of the ritual, but it's a Christian video. I don't want to be biased and only present a Christian position. So I took it, I kind of cut out the parts.
This is just the reenactment.
Exactly.
Basically.
And now we're going to get into the oaths. So anyways, you can go there and check it out.
Is there no help for the widow's son? Brother Senior Grand Warden, take the body by the entered apprentice's grip and see if it can be raised. Most worshipful King Solomon, the body cannot be raised by the end of apprentice grip. The skin slips from the flesh. Take it by the Fallacrest grip and see if it can be raised. For reasons already assigned, it cannot be raised by the Fallacrest grip. The flesh cleaves from the bone. In this our extremity, what should we do? Let's pray. Okay, at this point, we will eliminate the prayer. At the end of the prayer, we will take the body by the strong grip of a master mason or the lion's paw and raise it upon the 5 points of fellowship.
Brother Smith, you have now been raised to the sublime degree of Master Mason. And the word which I have just communicated is the Grand Masonic Word, which you promised in your obligation never to communicate except in the way and manner in which you have received it. You have been raised by the strong grip of a Master Mason with the lion's paw. And upon the 5 points of fellowship, which are, follow me, foot to foot, knee to knee, breast to breast, hand to back, and cheek to cheek or mouth to ear, give me the word, which are thus explained. Foot to foot, that you will be ever ready to go on foot and out of your way to assist a worthy brother. Knee to knee, that you will remember a brother's welfare as well as your own. Breast to breast, that you will keep the secrets of a brother Master Mason when communicated to and received by you in charge as such, as inviolable in, as they were in his breast, as they are in yours before being communicated. And hand to back, that you will be ready to stretch forth your hand and assist and save a fallen brother. And cheek to cheek or mouth to ear, that you will whisper good counsel in the ear of a brother, remind him of his error, and aid him in a reformation.
So they had the 5 points of fellowship, which I know most people who are going to be listening to this are not going to see what we would do if we did it. But basically, it's needed. It's like you put your foot together, your foot to foot, knee to knee. You're really close. Let's just put it that way. You're like right there in front of each other with your knees together, your breast to breast, and then you're whispering in each other's ear. That's what it's all about. So that's the 5 points of fellowship. He also said, whisper the word. So what is the word? I should have written that down. I didn't write it down, but I think if I recall, there's different names. As you go through different levels, the name changes that they give you. Okay, this is the first one that you receive. It's the word of a Master Mason, but you go, of course, many levels beyond that. That word is Jahabon. You know, it's a symbolic word for names of God. Mm-hmm. And you realize as you're going through this that this path to the name of God is very essential to your displaying your acceptance of certain educational facts, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery school. You're being educated. So he said that the I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but there was a part where he talks about the fleece.
Yeah.
Remember that? You have an apron on. You're given an apron, and on your apron it has
wool
your
wool or lambskin.
Exactly, it's lambskin. And the lambskin apron is supposed to be your badge, so to speak, of your position as a Master Mason. And on it has a number of ancient symbols, one of them being, of course, the all-seeing eye that is back on the dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little pyramid with an eye in it. Sometimes it's just an eye with rays of light shooting out. Symbolically, the ancients believed that the sun was the eye of God, always watching the world, because it would always go around. It was like supposed to be the eye of God with the light shining out. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of symbolism there. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. Most people who hear this will probably be pretty shocked, especially people. I've talked to a few people who have family members who are Masons and have absolutely no clue what they're doing in the lodge.
It's weird to think that every... I mean, you know, if you go to anything... I think on Masonic website, you'll see a list of people you've heard of before who have at least gotten to this level, if not higher. It's interesting to think of world leaders doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
I mean, you're talking kings, queens, and of course, co-masonry. There's female version of masonry. You have kings, politicians, leaders of business, and everything. I mean...
Church leaders.
Lots of church leaders. I mean, actually, he even mentioned that the person who conducts the prayer is usually an ordained minister at some church. So, every lodge has an ordained minister in it, practically.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of ministers. I mean, I don't know about you, but here in California, it seems like every freaking town I go into, there's a lodge there.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
it doesn't matter
how
dinky it is. Our town is pretty damn dinky.
Yeah.
And there's a lodge.
Yeah, we got one. It's pretty prominent, really. Size. I mean, you see it. It's right there.
Well, considering, the size of all the other buildings.
Yeah.
And usually, I mean, think about, like, a city near us, San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo, the biggest building in the entire city is a Freemason's building.
It's literally so large, I did not realize it was there. Like, it's... It's like a block. Not exactly. It's huge, though.
It's
like,
huge, yeah.
I just walked by it without even noticing.
Well, all the bottom floors of that building are all businesses.
Yeah.
Except for this little hole. Like, basically, it's like a little doorway you go through, and you go up some stairs, and it takes you to the top level. You wouldn't even know if it's a Masonic hall, except for there's a little plaque by the door.
Mm.
And then all along the top are Masonic symbols.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no windows, of course, and just on the front, but they're not even looking like, you know, on the back, it's just all brick. And that's usually the case. I always notice, like, go to a Freemason's Hall, they'll have a few little windows, but there's always a section with no windows.
Yeah.
You know, trying to keep the secret. Okay, so now, I said we're going to go into the obligations. I lied. Now we're going to go into the obligations. Well, now, the obligations are probably the most interesting part. This is the part that usually makes people leave Freemasonry because they think it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Most Freemasons that I have talked to openly confess that that it's not real. It's not a real thing. Like, it's supposed to be like a joke. It's like going through an initiation ritual in a fraternity in college. You know, I think drinking a goldfish and then doing like what they're doing is a little different. Plus, they always say, oh, of course, we're never going to kill anybody. It's just a joke. Yet, there is a history of them killing people.
Mm.
One person in particular, and they always, they get all upset when you bring this person up, because they're always like, oh, great, he's trying to talk about that guy again. There's this guy named Captain William Morgan. You can look him up. And this is an interesting fact. Like, I was in a college, I took a political science class, actually U.S. government class, and my political science teacher told me that the first third party in America was the Whig Party.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. It's not. Actually, the first third party in America was the Anti-Masonic Party, believe it or not. Actually, quite a few members of government climbed to very high levels because of that party because, interesting enough, the Anti-Masonic Party was formed because a guy named William Morgan wrote an expose on Freemasonry when he was a member. He came out of Masonry, or I guess he didn't necessarily come out of Masonry, he just basically was in Masonry and decided to expose all their rituals. He wrote them out in thing calling, I forget what it's called, Illustrations of Masonry by one of its members. And he basically he laid out the entire ritual, and it was published in a paper. But before it was going to be published, Masons found out about it. And a number of things happened that were really interesting. Number one, he got bombarded with all these bills that he did not owe.
Hmm.
Believe it or not. Then he was arrested for not paying them. He was held by the cops on that charge, who then decided to go ahead and release him, not before taking him over to the next state where some more cops arrested him. Then those cops held him for a little while, and then all of a sudden, no one knew what happened. Well, upon investigation by a court, they found out that he was taken out to a field and dropped off where a number of Freemasons were there waiting for him. Took him out to an abandoned military base along the a river, somewhere around where Niagara Falls is. I don't even know exactly. And dumped his, I guess, killed him and dumped his body in the river.
Hmm.
They never found his body, but a number of a few people investigated, and they found out more information. And actually, a handful of Masons took responsibility for the whole thing. When it was believed to, I mean, obviously, the people who sent them bills were involved, the cops were involved,
right.
And nobody, I think, was ever charged. So maybe the judges were involved, who knows? I mean, the point is that their positions of power definitely afford them the right to break the law whenever they deem it necessary, and they do take very much serious their oaths,
mm-hmm.
their obligations, they call it. Very interesting stuff. So anyways, after that occurrence happened, it did eventually get published, his Illustrations of Masonry, and it caused such an uproar throughout the nation. Not only that, because they probably would have did a lot better just to deny it's true. They didn't kill him. But the fact that they killed him and they found out it was Masons involved, and it didn't stop the publishing of it, granted him more, I guess, publicity.
Right.
And more... I mean, obviously,
yeah,
found the
makes
truth.
Sense. Yeah, that's what would happen today. If you something know? Like that happened, it'd
so
explode.
People would be like, whoa, so this is the real deal. Like, he exposed the secrets and he died because of it.
Mm.
In exactly the same manner as the obligation, and you'll hear about that. As you climb levels, the obligations change. So, call it a coincidence. They'll say that it's not true, but yet history proves them wrong. I don't know. I'm not, and I try to be fair, but at the same time, I'm not going to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just the way it's going to go. So, you know, it caused such an uproar that a group of people formed the Anti-Masonic Party. They tried to push all the members of Masonry out of the government, and they did for a while. They were very successful in finding out who was a Mason and who wasn't. The Freemasonry suffered one of the biggest losses to membership in history. They just plummeted. It was pretty crazy for a while as far as for Freemasons. But, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, people forget, and history just kind of forgets.
Yeah,
and then you have political science teachers saying, "Oh yeah, the Whig Party was the first third party," and totally ignoring Anti-Masonic Party.
Bring it up?
I did.
What did you say?
I said actually, I understand the first third party would be the Anti-Masonic Party, and then eventually, turning into they eventually disintegrated, and most of them went into the Whig Party. And he kind of like said, "Well, I don't think that's true, but I'll check on it." And he confessed to me personally that I was right.
Mm-hmm. But not in front of the class.
But his whole thing, teachers have egos, so he had a hard time. Right. So what his response was, they were a party, but not like in the classical sense. It was just an extreme time for a group of extremists.
Right.
Yeah, so extreme that they pushed so many people out of Freemasonry and practically took over the government for a short period of time. But eventually, Freemasonry eased their way back in. They always do. I mean, even in the Catholic Church, for example, at one point the Catholic Church banned Freemasonry because they said it was satanic, and then eventually they let them back in, and then, you know, it kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous, honestly. And we'll get into the next topic, the actual obligations. And this is probably the most interesting part for a lot of people. I'm going to play a clip where he kind of goes through the long version of an obligation. And I'm going to go through and just read the actual, penalty of death for each one that you are supposed to undertake.
Nice.
If you reveal the secrets as a Mason. Okay.
Degree. Please listen.
We will now continue with the presentation of the rituals of Freemasonry by going into the third degree obligation of a Mason. Behind me, to the left, is where the Worshipful Master sits. I am the Worshipful Master of the Lodge, and over his head is a symbol, the letter G. And here we have the three lesser lights of Freemasonry. Before us, we have an altar. And the altar is a color blue because it represents fidelity to the Masonic Order. To the right of me, we have the candidate for Freemasonry in the third degree. He has a blue uniform on, which also represents fidelity. He's hoodwinked with a cable toe about his neck.
I'm just going to mention that this is actually not the ritual. This is him just explaining symbolism.
Or continue with the obligation, he can be led or dragged out by use of the cable toe. He also is kneeling upon an altar with both knees naked, a symbol of the third degree of Freemasonry, both breast and both knees naked. To my left is an officer of the lodge who will administer the obligation of the third degree. In the middle of the altar, we have the Holy Bible, the square, and the compasses, the three great lights of Freemasonry.
Mr. Smith? Repeat your name and say after me, I.
I.
Your name?
Mr. Smith.
Of my own free will and accord.
Of my own free will and accord.
In the presence of Almighty God.
In the presence of Almighty God.
And this right worshipful lodge.
And this right worshipful lodge.
Erected to him.
Erected to him.
And dedicated to the holy saints John.
And dedicated to the holy saints John.
Do hereby and hereon.
Hereby and hereon,
solemnly and sincerely,
solemnly and sincerely,
promise and swear,
promise and swear,
I will always hail,
I will always hail,
forever
conceal, and never reveal, any of the secret arts, parts or points,
of the Master Mason Lodge,
of the Master Mason Lodge,
which has been,
may now,
or shall hereafter.
Or shall hereafter
be
communicated to me,
and charged as such,
and charged as such,
to any person in the world,
to any person in the world,
except it be to a
true and lawful
brother Master Mason,
brother Master Mason,
or in a legally constituted.
Or in a legally constituted
Master Mason Lodge.
Master Mason Lodge.
And not unto him.
And not unto him.
Nor them therein.
Nor them therein.
Until after due trial.
Until after due trial.
Strict examination.
Strict examination.
Or lawful information.
Or lawful information.
I may have found them.
I may have found them.
Legally entitled.
Legally entitled.
To receive the same.
To receive the same.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will stand to and abide by.
I will stand to and abide by.
The rules and regulations of the Master Mason Lodge.
The rules and the regulations of the Master Mason Lodge.
Of which I may be a member.
Of which I may be a member.
As also the Constitution.
And also as the Constitution.
Resolutions.
Resolutions.
Rules and edicts.
Rules and edicts.
Of the Grand Lodge.
Of the Grand Lodge.
To which I may be.
To which I may be
beholden.
Beholden.
If within the length of my cable toe.
Within the length of my cable toe.
That means, my brother, if I'm able to do so. I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will aid and assist.
I will aid and assist.
All poor distressed brother Master Masons.
All poor and distressed poor Master Masons.
Their widows and orphans.
Their widows and orphans.
Wheresoever dispersed.
Wheresoever dispersed.
I knowing them to be such.
I knowing them to be such.
I further promise and swear.
I further promise and swear.
I will answer and obey.
I will answer and obey.
All due signs and summonses.
All due signs and summonses.
Sent me from a regular Master Mason Lodge.
Sent there from the regular Master Mason Lodge.
Or handed me.
Or handed me.
By a brother Master Mason.
By a brother Master Mason.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will keep the secrets of a brother Master Mason.
I will keep the secrets of a brother Master Mason.
When communicated to.
When communicated to.
And received by me.
And received by me.
And charged as such.
And charged as such.
Murder and treason.
Murder and treason.
Alone accepted.
Alone accepted.
And these left to my election.
And these left to my exception.
Election.
Election.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I just wanted to stop there. It's going to be a little bit longer. We're only a little bit over halfway through with that. That's 1 degree. You see what I'm saying? And that's not the whole ridge. I mean, that's just a portion of it. But you notice how he said, murder and treason accepted if you choose not to do it. But it's up to your election. You can choose to be treasonous or murder. Isn't that interesting? And actually, what's really even more interesting to me is I had a friend whose family was very much involved in Freemasonry, and we used to have talks about it because he was very interested in the topic and he wanted to pick my brain about everything. He said the only thing he ever knew about Freemasonry was that his father had told him this, that no matter what happens if you join Freemasonry, no matter what, at one time during the time you're a Freemason, you may be called upon to do something by the master, the worshipful master of your lodge, and you have to do it no matter what it is. And he said there's been times where men have decided they wanted their wives murdered, and that was accepted as a thing they had to do, and they did it. And he told them that as a warning because he was considering joining Freemasonry, and you know, he wasn't sure if he wanted to do it, and his dad kind of said, well, check this out, this is kind of what you have to expect, so you need to be serious about this decision if that's what you choose to do. Pretty interesting. I find that very interesting. Not only that, I mean, just, and he had, that's why he was very interested in Freemasonry, obviously, because that statement really probably provoked his interest as a kid. But also his sister bought a car, right? And on the car had a symbol of a Masonic symbol sticker on it. And she would straight up say she could speed and she would never get pulled over. Cops would pull up behind her and then see it and just swerve off.
What was the symbol?
Oh, it's just a square and compass. Sweet. With a G in the middle. Yeah. And you can do a little research and I'll talk more about what that symbol represents there for anybody who is interested in what it looks like. So, to make it even more interesting, one time she was driving down the road, right? And this lady was freaking out and was flipping her off and driving her practically off the road. She was all screaming at her, pull your ass over, right? So she got a little scared, but she was like, okay, fine. She pulled over and she didn't know what was going on. The lady got out of the car, supposedly, walked up to her and started screaming at her. Like, or basically said something to her, and she didn't understand what it was. I guess it was one of those symbols that I recognize yourself as a Freemason. And, or, you know, whatever, what is the women's version, the co-masonry, and she didn't know the answer, and the lady freaked out on her and told her to rip that off her car or she was going to rip her head off. Like, basically told her, you're not to have that sticker on your car if you're not a Freemason, period. And she got back in her car and sped off. And this is like a soccer mom, she said. So it was like a little weird. She's like, what's up with this chick, you know? So anyways.
Did she take it off?
Yeah, she did. She did take it off. She was pretty freaked out about it. I guess she came home shaking and told her brother about it. So, I mean, eh.
Okay, well, I'm not putting one on my car now.
Yeah, well, I'm just, I know you would want to, huh? But, you know, honestly, if you don't know the symbol, they have hand symbols. They have all these different ways of recognition. Yeah. If you don't know how to do it right, you know.
That guy I told you about earlier from my work, I know for a fact one of the first times he met me. He shook my hand in this really strange way, and I know he was looking for something, but I don't know what it was. I swear.
What he does is it's like this. You when you're shaking a hand, your representation of degree, first of all, you keep your fingers open down here. And then you push your thumb on one of the three knuckles.
Hmm.
And if you're a 33rd degree, or 33rd degree, you put your finger on this knuckle.
Hmm.
That's how you identify yourself. So, anyways, not that that's really that important. Depending on what knuckle you put your finger on, you can do some research. I mean, all the stuff's available online. There's a number of expose websites,
mm-hmm.
mine being one of them. I will eventually have all this information posted. But I'm still at the beginning phase of getting it developed. But when you go info by subject, there'll be a list of subjects. I'll have Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, New Age, Satanism, Christian, everything, Catholic. I'm basically going to break down doctrines and everything about them and things that I think are valid for my point, which I have never really told anybody yet. But I have my own little agenda.
He has
going
a
on.
Point.
I have an agenda.
Believe it or not.
I have an agenda to expose agendas. So, anyways, you'll be able to go there and look up the hand signals and all that great stuff, and it's going to take a long time for me to get that done. So, anyways, let me continue on with the ritual, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the oaths.
Swear. I furthermore promise and swear.
I will not cheat.
I will not cheat.
Defraud.
Defraud.
My brother, Master Mason.
A brother, Master Mason.
Speak evil of his good name.
Speak evil of his good name.
Or that of his family.
Or that of his family.
Or allow the same to be done by others.
Or allow the same to be done to others.
If in my power to prevent.
In my power to prevent.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will not violate the chastity.
I will not violate the chastity.
Of a brother Master Mason's wife.
A brother Master Mason's wife.
Mother.
Mother.
Sister or daughter.
Sister or daughter.
Nor suffer the same to be done.
Nor suffer the same or be done.
By others.
By others.
If in my power to prevent.
If in my power to prevent.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will not be at the making.
I will not be at the making.
Of a woman a mason.
At a woman a mason.
An old man in his dotage.
An old man in his dotage.
A young man under age.
A young man under age.
A fool.
A fool.
A madman.
Madman.
Or suffer the same to be done by others.
Or suffer the same to be done by others.
Within my power to prevent.
Within my power to prevent.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will not sit.
I will not sit.
In a clandestine.
A clandestine.
Lodge of Masons.
Lodge of Masons.
Nor hold converse.
Or nor hold converse.
Upon the secrets of Masonry.
Upon the secrets of Masonry.
With a clandestinely made Mason.
With a clandestinely Mason.
Nor one suspended or expelled.
Nor one suspended or expelled.
From a regular lodge.
From a regular lodge.
I knowing him to be such.
I knowing him to be such.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I furthermore promise and swear.
I will not communicate.
I will not communicate.
The grand Masonic word.
The grand Masonic word.
Except in the way and manner.
Except in the way or manner.
In which I received it.
In which I received it.
And then only in a low breath.
And then only in a low breath.
To all of which.
To all of which I solemnly and sincerely
promise and swear,
promise and swear
to keep and perform the same,
to keep and perform the same
without any equivocation,
without any
equivocation,
mental reservation,
or secret evasion of mind,
or secret evasion or mind
in me whatever,
in me whatever.
finding myself under the no less penalty,
finding myself under the no less penalty
than that of having,
than that of having
my body severed in twain,
my body severed in twain,
my bowels taken thence,
my bowels taken thence,
and with my body burned to ashes,
and with my body burned to ashes,
and those ashes scattered,
and those ashes scattered
to the four winds of heaven,
to the four winds of heaven,
so that there might remain,
so that there might remain
name,
name,
trace,
trace,
nor remembrance,
nor remembrance,
no more forever,
no more forever,
of so vile a wretch,
so vile a wretch,
as I would be,
as I would be,
should I ever willingly,
should I ever willingly,
or knowingly,
or knowingly,
violate this,
violate this,
my most solemn obligation,
my solemn obligation,
as a master mason,
as a master mason,
so help me God,
so help me God,
and keep me steadfast,
and keep me steadfast,
in the due performance,
in the due performance,
of the same,
of the same.
Mr. Smith, as an evidence that you took this oath freely and of your own will and accord, please kiss the Bible, the book before you three times. It is the Holy Bible.
Okay. That was the good stuff.
That would not have been a Bible if they knew he was another religion, or?
Yeah, that would have been a Quran or something else. Okay, they always do an interview with you to make sure everything's in pace with what you're about. So that was the Oath of Obligation for the Master Mason. Like I mentioned, the Blue Lodge is the first 3 degrees, the Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, second degree, Master Mason being the third degree, and that's when you become a full-fledged Freemason, okay? And I quote, "Binding myself under no less a penalty than having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken out and burnt to ashes with my body, the ashes scattered to the four winds of heaven. So help you God." You know, that's a pretty gnarly. So anyways, let me go through some of these. Now, when you go into being an inter-apprentice, this is the question that they ask you, and this is supposed to be your answer. Question, what makes you a Freemason? Answer, my obligation. These are your obligations. They straight say it's the most important obligation of being a Freemasonry, that you will not reveal the secrets. But they say there is no secrets. If you ever talk to a Mason, there's no secrets. But I'm going to get into what the secrets are as we get into this more and more. We're going to do more on Freemasonry. But to understand what the secrets are, you have to do a little bit of research. It's not like I'm going to basically say, oh yeah, it's just this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that simple. Freemasonry is a path of discovery. It's an education to teach you about the mystery schools, that there is no God, and so on and so forth. And they will never admit it to you, like I said, because they don't believe that you would be capable of handling it. But that's just part of it. There's a whole education that goes along with it. And plus, the reason why I'm doing this all together, like in my first podcast, I talked about the New World Order and the governmental side of things. This all plays into what's going on throughout the world in government, because many, many members of our government are part of this religion, and Freemasonry is only one section of it. Freemasonry is the path that leads you into this understanding. Once you get there, you're part of the religion, if you pass, if you accept what you're supposed to accept. But there are different branches of that that religion that people already believe. And we'll get into the connections between them, and you can trace them out. So, what makes you a Freemason? It's your obligation. So, what is the oath of obligation for the apprentice, the entered apprentice, which is the first degree? Binding myself under no less a penalty than having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots, my body buried in the rough sands of the sea, a cable length from the shore where the tide comes in. Okay. Oath of obligation for the second degree, fellow craft. Binding myself under no less a penalty than having my left breast torn open, my heart plucked out, and given to the beasts of the field and the fowls of the earth as the air as prey.
I think I'd rather die by being cut in half, though. Of all of all those.
And then, of course, the third degree, which we just heard, binding myself under no less a penalty than having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken out and burnt to ash, the ashes scattered to the four winds of heaven. Now, when you get to the highest degree, the 32nd degree, 33 is the highest, like I said, but it's a honorary degree. When you get to the 32nd degree, you have a choice to become what they call Shriners. Now, if you ever seen a parade, those guys with the funny red hats on, they're called Fezzes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're driving around the little cars, usually.
Yeah.
And they look really funny. There's big fat guys going, in their little car, right? That those are Shriners. And you can always tell a Shriner because they use the Arabic symbol, which is the curved sword with the star.
Right.
Okay. So you have the right to become a Shriner. Now, all those are 32nd degree. Now, to become a Shriner, your oath of obligation, and actually, just so you know, the full name of a Shriner, Shriners for short, it's Ancient Arabic Order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine.
What's the Mystic Shrine?
The Mystic Shrine, we'll get into that later.
Okay, sorry.
that's too much ahead of time.
Okay.
So anyways, so this is their quote, or their oath, or obligation. In willful violation whereof may I incur the fearful penalty of having my eyeballs pierced through the center with a three-edged blade, my feet flayed and forced to walk on the hot sands upon the sterile shores of the Red Sea until the flaming sun shall strike with vivid plague, and my Allah, the God of Arab, Muslim, and Mohammedan, the God of our fathers, support me the entire fulfillment of the same. Can you be a Christian and say that? I don't know. I could see how you know Muhammad and Allah and all that could be a little bit of an issue, but yet they do it. And they say they can be a Christian and whatever. I don't know. Whatever you feel. So here's a quote by Albert Pike about their oaths. Now, Albert Pike, like I said, is a prominent man. He was Grand Inspector General of the Southern Jurisdiction of Freemasonry. He wrote most of the rituals. And also, he is buried in the 33rd Degree Temple, which is actually in Washington, D.C., exactly 13 blocks from the White House. There's the what they call the Grand Lodge of the United States. It's the Mother Lodge, okay? And he was he was buried there with one other person. That's how great he was. It's not like everybody else can be buried there, okay? He's in the lodge. I mean, actually, his ashes are there, I should say. They actually excavated his ashes out of the ground and put him in there. Mm. And they have a shrine to him. He has a highway named after him. I mean, it just goes on and on. He's the only Confederate. Now, get this. He was a Confederate general in the Civil War. Well, he was a traitor to the United States, as we believe in it today, right? He wanted the Confederacy to win. Yet, he has a statue dedicated to him by an act of Congress that puts a statue of him in Washington, D.C.
When?
I think that was in the 20s or 30s.
Wow.
I'm going to get into that later
but
on.
The
so sure,
but the last century, though. Yeah.
An act of Congress gave him a statue in Washington, D.C. He's the only Confederate general to ever be honored in that way. Hmm. And I'm telling you, it's not because he was a Confederate general. It's because he's a Freemason. And it seems like if you're a Freemason, it doesn't matter what you do. It just doesn't matter.
Did he do anything else? I mean, does no one ask why this guy has a statue?
No, plenty of people ask. But, I mean, honestly, they just don't talk about it.
I mean, not even like a party line fake reason why they put the statue up?
Well, I can tell you that, you know how I said earlier that he was supposedly one of the co-founders of the Ku Klux Klan? Mm-hmm. Well, a black activist group actually attempted to have it torn down. They took it to Congress and asked them to tear it down. They said no. Unanimously, from my understanding, said no, we're not going to take it down. And they said because they didn't want to, the co-founder of the Ku Klux Klan having a statue at our national capital. That's not appropriate. But, whatever. So anyways, this is a quote from his book, Morals and Dogma, and we're going to read a lot of quotes from that book, because that is a book that's supposed in certain jurisdictions, and we'll get into why only in certain jurisdictions you get this book, you get handed this book called Morals and Dogma, and you're supposed to read it. It is your handbook for Freemasonry. I got it at a secondhand store.
How much?
$30.
Okay.
They were trying to sell it for $60, but I talked them down to $30. And believe it or not, this is before I knew anything about Freemasonry. Like, I started studying out of that book, and that's what got me interested, really. I mean, I knew basics, but I didn't know much. This is a quote under the 24th degree, page 74 of Morals and Dogma. If your wife, child, or friend should ask you anything about your invitation, as for instance, if your clothes were taken off, if you were blindfolded, if you had a rope tied around your neck, etc., you must conceal. Hence, of course, you must deliberately lie about it. It is part of your obligation.
Right.
So obviously, they take it pretty damn serious.
Right.
And if you ask them, they're not going to tell you. I kid you not. I've read this. I know their ritual inside and out. I talked to a guy recently that I'm trying to get to do an interview with me live on the show. I've met him on the internet. He's a new Freemason. Actually, he's only been a Freemason for 10 months. I mean, being that he passed the out of the Blue Lodge, he's an official Master Mason. I asked him. I said he I guess he got suspicious or something about what I don't know. Maybe that I might, you know, what I knew and was kind of testing me to see. And he asked me, you know, it's a way of identifying each other. He asks you a question, you're supposed to be able to answer it. And what it is it's part. It's a small part. It's like a 2-line sentence in the ritual. Mm. And it sounded familiar. And I was like, you know, I don't really know how to answer that question. And that's my phone ringing. Just ignore that. But he asked me if I knew that, and I answered. I eventually figured it out, and I answered back to him. I said, "So is this what you're talking about?" And he goes, "I can't answer that question." I mean, it doesn't matter how much you know. You can like read right out of their freaking ritual, and they can't tell you. Yeah, if they do, they're not meeting up to their oath.
Right, which is what's so ridiculous about.
Well, anyways, that was my wife. She knows I'm doing this show right now, and I'm going to have to talk to her about this afterward. Thanks, hon. Anyways.
What was I saying? I have no idea. Oh, yeah, it just makes it so ridiculous to take the word of someone who promises to lie to anyone when they say anything about what they believe. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously... What can you do? You can't get the it to me though. It throws like doubt on everything that's ever been revealed about Masonry. Obviously, I'm sure it's not so grand and wonderful a conspiracy that they could really hide the truth in an age like today. But still, I often wonder. You know, you wonder. Mm-hmm. You know, to what extent is there are people being duped, including, you know, the things that have been released, whether officially or unofficially.
Exactly. And see, that's the interesting thing about, you know, Freemasonry has existed for over probably 1,000 years. You know, and here's the thing. Like, they didn't expect the internet to ever come. I mean, who would have foresaw that? Who would have foresaw? I mean, I got a book from 1902, and it's encoded. Like, you have to know the code to break it. I just bought it to show that they're trying to hide something.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, most people couldn't even read.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, not most people, but a lot of people could read, but many couldn't, and definitely couldn't break a damn code.
Yeah.
You know, and if the only people who have that information on how to break it are Freemasons, you know, where did you get it? It's only in the last, you know, 100 years, and actually William Morgan was a big deal because of the fact that he exposed something that nobody had ever exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took it literally, and they killed him. Nowadays, they try to blow it off because what are they going to do? I mean, there's thousands of websites. There's people who leave it all the time. Their books are being found in secondhand stores.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's being published online. They're changing the way they do things. Before, you had to be invited to be a Freemason. Now, you can go and apply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they have to meet up with the times. But that doesn't change the object of the purpose of Freemasonry. And when you want to get into our government and why certain things like... can happen, and this is what I'm going to get into, where this agenda of the New World Order is coming from. I personally believe that most of the people involved in the highest levels of our government, and many governments throughout the world, have been totally saturated with people of this theology, I guess mm-hmm. you could say, or philosophy, or whatever you want to call it. They're working towards a certain agenda because they have certain religious and political and philosophical beliefs about the world. I'm not claiming that there's this vast conspiracy where there's all these guys sitting around in a, you know, in a smoke-filled room plotting to take over the world. I'm saying that if me, myself, my decisions in life are based upon my beliefs.
Right.
And if I'm going to vote for a president, for example, I'm going to vote for a president that matches with my beliefs. Now, you have these people who are in positions of power, all kind of believe in the same thing,
mm-hmm.
whether they admit it or not. They all kind of know, and they're all kind of held to this thing of secrecy, and they look at the rest of the world like a bunch of ignorant fools, and, you know, they just kind of do their own thing. They have their own agenda, and their agenda is, like I said in the very first podcast, this New World Order, and I say that because you have to understand what it is. Most people don't have a clue, but that's what it is. It's influencing the direction of the world. There's enough of there's 5 million Freemasons in the United States. That's a lot of Freemasons, and there's more of them in the South than anywhere. You know, like honestly, and they're not dumb guys. I mean, if you read Albert Pike's book, it took me a while to read.
It's no easy read.
Oh, absolutely not, to say the least. So, I mean, And that's where I'm coming from. There's extremists who will say Freemasonry is trying to take over the world, blah, 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 and they'll throw all these different words at you. Probably will hear New World Order. You'll hear all these things because they can, I mean, you can get their books and read it. That is what they're talking about
In their books. Which, honestly, from the point of view of anyone who actually does have an agenda and has been part of Freemasonry, those kind of extreme conspiracy theories are probably only good for them because they look so crazy to some other people.
Like exactly.
When you take it and you go to that far extreme, it's like some of, like, just to go on another topic, some of, like, the 9/11 conspiracy theories, some of them that are on the fringe are so crazy that the people a little bit, you know, closer to the middle where there might actually have been some kind of a conspiracy or whatever, those people can just point to the outer edge and say, see, it's crazy. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, those guys are nuts.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with me generally. When I talk to people, they always go like, oh, you're one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're one of those crazy weirdos. And you know, and it would seem like I am because of the fact that, you know, I believe, I say a lot of the same key words. The difference is I believe, I mean, it's just like me saying, yeah, for certain Freemasons believe that all religions come from the same place. The mystery school is blah, blah, blah. And so they don't really hold to any doctrine with any absolute, you know, as any authority necessarily. It's more of a philosophical thing. They don't believe there's going to be, like, for example, an Armageddon and Christ coming down to save the world.
Right.
So their whole thing is we need to make the world the best way we can, and they come up with their own ideas on how to do that. And their whole thing is, if we have a world government, then there's no wars. Who are we going to war against? Ourselves? We're all part of one entity. Therefore, we'll have the peace that we always wanted.
Yeah. And so, honestly, what's really, to me, in my mind, what's frightening about this possibility isn't the possibility that somewhere in high positions people are conspiring to bring about world peace. That doesn't sound that scary. What's frightening to, what would be frightening to me is taking the implications of these ideas of ignorance, faith, and what was the third one?
Superstition.
Taking that those are things that have to be banished, realizing that the people that are ultimately up in a level to make changes in the world have that as a fundamental view, that something like faith or superstition, which the rest of us might call religion, would have to be banished. Most of us wouldn't agree that ignorance should stick around. That's fine, but
yeah, exactly.
It's scary to think that that's a foundational belief.
Yeah, like, if my view in God automatically qualifies me as ignorance,
right.
No matter what I know,
right.
In the eyes of people who are coming from this viewpoint, and that their whole goal is to get rid of people like me, that doesn't make me feel too comfortable.
And if by if by their own admission, them just telling you the truth isn't going to be enough for you to get it, ultimately, what's the end of this? If there's going to be something like a world peace or something like a one world government or something like everyone unified, what's going to happen to these people who obviously aren't going to get it if you tell them?
Exactly. And you know what? If you stick around and you listen to my future, you know, broadcasts, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to read quotes right from the horse's mouth. You'll hear exactly what they got planned. And I'm telling you, it ain't pretty. Like, the funny thing about it, and I always say this, for a world of peace and unity, it seems to look awfully similar to a police state.
Yeah.
Like, it looks very similar to what Hitler did.
Yeah. It's a weird kind of freedom where it's...
It's like, you can do anything you want. You can have all the freedoms and happiness you ever dreamed of.
Parameter.
As long as you, if you don't, yeah, as long as you don't do anything outside of these standards right here.
As long as you happen to naturally want to do the things that we're going to allow you to do, then you're free to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Very well put. And it may sound crazy, but I'm telling you, the more I get into it, the quotes, I mean, if you haven't already, if this is your first time checking us out, go to truthlovefreedom.org. Go to my podcast section. I'm actually going to post a podcast of this show. Go to the podcast section and listen from, and of course, it's like a blog. The newest are always post highest. Go to the first one and listen to them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All the quotes from all the different sources, all the historical information, everything is going to be evidence towards this fact. And I beg you to be skeptical. However, I also beg you to be logical, because if you are, what's going to end up happening is you're going to see things from my perspective. You don't have to agree with it. I just want you to see where I'm coming from. And, you know, because I personally believe the way things are going today, if we're going to stop, you know, phone tapping and all these different things, you got to know what forces are working against you.
Right.
I mean, you can't. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing. It crosses all spectrums of politics. And people are convinced that it's just like this one little, you know, thing. But yet, you know, here we got the Democrats coming into power in the House and Senate. And what happened? They're not going to impeach Bush.
No, of course.
Even though every Democrat I've ever known wants his ass out of the White House, he's not going to get impeached.
Nope.
And there's actually liberal protesters protesting their own party now. They're going to their own party's speeches and doing and shouting and disrupting them because they're pissed off.
But it's so,
and they don't understand why.
It's so easy to get caught up in this idea that there really is a two part, that there are two parties, and that there's actually, they represent somehow two extremes. I got caught up in it this last election. I really thought, I don't ask me why, I really thought there was going to be something, some kind of change, because we were going over to the other side. It's not another side. There'll be nominal, tiny changes. Basically nothing in your life is going to change. Because it really is. It's not two sides even of the same coin. It's like the same side of the same coin.
Yeah, it's two. It's like George Washington has his head. Like, it just goes back and forth from ear to ear.
Same head.
You know, same head. Same side of the coin. There is no other side yet. So anyways, while we're on the topic of presidents, may I plug Senator Ron Paul?
No idea.
Of Texas.
Oh yeah, I think that's right. Ron Paul.
Yeah, it's Ron Paul.
That's right.
Okay, so this guy Ron Paul is actually a libertarian, and he runs as a Republican. The guy kicks ass. If you haven't heard of him, just go check him out. Type in Ron Paul. And I mean, I'm telling you, dude, like, when all the senators are not doing the will of the people, this guy stands up. He's like that one vote on the opposite side of the spectrum where everyone just kind of rolls their eyes. Like, he's a gnarly dude. And he's got a lot of amazing speeches. I mean, he basically he takes it to their face, man. And I got to admit, the guy inspires me. I believe in almost everything that he says in limited government. He knows about the agenda of world government. He openly admits it and talks about it in Congress. Like, he does speeches to Congress and says, I know about this and I want to stop it. I mean, it's pretty gnarly. Mm-hmm. So anyways, check him out. Why not? He's going to run, from my understanding, in 2008.
As the Libertarian candidate?
No, he's Libertarian, but he runs
as a Republican. Oh, he's going
to
run as that? Well.
Because Libertarians consider themselves to be the original Republicans.
I know.
And Republicans have kind of strayed, and they're like the original, so he doesn't have a problem running as a Republican because he stays true to what it was supposed to be about.
Right.
You know. Not the neocon agenda, which is not even like real Republicanism.
Well, in any case, I have to put out there that I do not necessarily have the same political views as Carl here. That being said, there you go.
All right.
Still check it out.
I think you should check him out. I mean, everybody needs to vote who they feel on their conscience. Definitely. I just think this guy is awesome, and I'm probably going to vote for him. He probably ain't going to win, but, you know, whatever.
But hey, why not?
Why not? Okay, so that concludes this session. I'm going to do another show Friday, February 2nd from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. That's Pacific Standard Time. Anybody who listens to this podcast or is listening to the show right now, please feel free to tune in. And we're going to try to take phone calls for the first time.
Oh, man.
That's going to be interesting. you wouldn't believe how we rigged this thing up.
Will you need Skype? Do you need Skype for that?
We do have Skype.
Yeah, but like they need to have.
Well,
right?
Oh yeah. I'm not going to pay for Skype as far as Skype in until it like justifies.
Right.
So
we got the free version.
Yeah, we got the free version right now. So just download Skype and then you can basically call us using Skype.
Right.
And just so you know, if anybody wants to call me at any time, my Skype name is Soul Real. That's my alter ego name, I guess you could say. I don't know. Alias. Soul Real, no space between. SOULREAL. You can call that using Skype, and we'll tell you at what time to do that. Please don't just call during the show because we're not going to just stop and answer. That would be weird. So, once again, next show is Friday, February 2nd from 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Oh, at least 9:30. We're trying to do an hour, but this show like went long.
This is almost quite a bit this over is going now, on 2 hours.
So. Yeah.
Anyone who stuck around, thank you. We do appreciate anyone who's listened. It's really awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Tell your friends.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to be consistent. It's every other Friday, if you can remember that. And the next every other Friday, of course, is February 2nd. So we're going to get more into topics. I'm not sure what we're going to do the next show on. We're hopefully going to get an interview with a Freemason. I have got like 10 Freemasons who are considering, doing interviews with me, but none of them are committing. So
I don't think it's – I don't see it happening, but we can hope.
But, yeah, I don't count on it. Okay, well, thank you for tuning in. TruthLoveFreedom.org. If you want to check things out, I'm going to post this podcast. Share it with your friends. Get on the website, on the forum. Check out the articles I'm going to post, the videos. I've got all kinds of interesting stuff. Plus, I'm looking for volunteers. If anybody wants to help out and contribute to the site, I can really use some of those web designers and graphic artists to help me out. I'm doing this all myself. I'm broke. I don't really have the money to, like, pay for a professional person to do it. So if you're interested and you're willing, please hit me up. My email is admin@truthlovefreedom.org. If you want to get a hold of me, so real, my real name's Carl, or Justin, that would be great. And until next time, peace and love.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.